Do you realize that if you simply run 8 minutes per half mile, 16 minutes per mile for 100 miles, you'll only be out there for 26 hours and 40 minutes? Yeah, that's all. It's not that long. Actually, it's kind of long, huh? So, yeah, the reality of it is, well, this morning I was doing it in my head, break down the numbers, right? Why, do you ask? Why are you breaking these numbers down, you psycho? Because I'll tell you why. Because Sunday, as I'm traipsing through Old Town on the way out to the trails, to the creek side there, to go on my happy little hike there, they were finishing up a breast cancer awareness type run, like a 5K, you know, which is, I think it's great. I mean, fund the research, right? But, boy, some of these people out there, all right, don't take it down this, don't go down that road. Don't go negative on me yet, but let's just face it, like, it's mostly a lot of muffin tops and a lot of administrative assistants wearing pink tutus, and that's great. That's part of the whole experience. But my thing is, like, the sheer competitive juices in me is like, fuck, I'd come out, I'd tear these people up. I'd fuck these people up. Like, I'd just be mean mugging these people on the start line. I don't care what kind of, if it's funding breast cancer research, if it's funding fucking, you know, spotted owls, you know, if it's funding habitats for blind, you know, blue jays, you know, or incontinent fish. I don't give a fuck. I'm there to win, man. I will fuck these pink tutu wearing administrative assistants up. I will fuck them up. It gets you going, and that's, I can't help it, man. That's in my genetic. I've instilled it in my head that's how I roll. That's how I used to roll. I used to disappear on weekends, in the off season when I wasn't running track or cross country. I'd most certainly go find a race somewhere, you know, 5K here, a 5 miler there. I'd run the Clarksburg 5 miler. I was a sophomore in high school. I ran 28:57 for 5 miles, which seems staggeringly fast for a sophomore for me, but in reality, it really wasn't. It just sounded good. You know, or like some turkey trot 5K. I would go down to Golden Gate Park. They had it's called the Run to the Far Side, which is put together. It was based around the cartoon strip The Far Side, with what's his name? Is it Gary Larson? Is that his name? He was there. He'd usually fire the gun. There'd be thousands of people there to run a 5K or a 10K. I'd just be somewhere. The Cordova Christmas Classic, I remember that. That was a weird race. Out in Rancho Cordova. And so it just gets you going. Like, God, I remember running one down at the Capitol. I mean, there got to be enough of them where I just didn't. I lost track. But it was a good way to keep you in, I don't know, somewhat, like, competitive shape, a little bit anyway. And so I got fired up seeing all this 5K that was ending in Old Town, and I was like, what if I fucking did one of those, right? I finally confessed to my producer. She came out the other morning to, excuse me, to go hike with me, which was amazing. I loved it. You know, the more the merrier, I say. And I confessed to her. I said, you know, I'm kind of secretly like, not only just like 5K, 10K stuff, but like, I've been looking at like Western states. Like, why? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, first of all, I don't, like, the prospect of doing something that is just as exciting as actually doing it. And that's probably, that probably goes without saying. That probably goes with most things, like anything you planned for or anticipate. Once that time comes and you're like, you know, you're there to do it, you know, it's like, it's anticlimactic at that point. Sometimes it's the preparation involved. It's like, yeah, you're focused, you're kind of, you're determined, you're training, you're, you got a mindset, you know, you're a savage, you know, you're getting fired up, you know, it gets your juices flowing, it gets you, it adds a purpose. We all need a purpose, right? We all need something to keep us going, to get us out of bed, to make us feel, you know, we're all just kind of like, if we don't have a purpose, it seems like, at least a self-ordained purpose, we're just kind of adrift. It seems like we float around. That's where depression comes in. That's where anxiety comes in. So we latch on to these little twisted little, you know, these things, these aspirations, goals, pursuits, you know, whatever form they take. If it's a game, a competition, you know, lawn darts, cornhole, which is, well, who the hell came up with cornhole? Why would you call it that? I mean, hey, why don't we just call it like butt sex? Hey, you guys want to play butt sex? Okay. And, but running, well, okay. Let me distinguish too, the difference. So something with the Western states, like I'm watching videos on it, old videos, old competitions, old past races. And a lot of, you know, it's a lot of the, not the same crowd, but a comparable crowd, because there's not everybody there is you know, a sub 220 marathoner. Which, by the way, there's this girl. I mean, I got to give a shout out to, what's her name? She's Ethiopian. Her name is Sifit. I can't even pronounce it correctly, so you got to bear with me. Oh, no. It's Tigist? T-I-G-I-S-T is her first name. Tigist? Her last name is Asifa. Assefa. She's a 28-year-old from Ethiopia. She ran 2:15:37 in the Berlin Marathon. What the fuck? Like, fuck. Let me see. The guy that ran across the U.S. over the summer, what's his name? Mike Wardian. Shout out to Mike Wardian, by the way. He's a 2:17 marathoner or something like that. And he's been, you know, he's in the he qualified for the Olympic trials with that. She ran 2:15:37. Like, she'd beat him. Like, that's fucking stupid. Well, but that's not even the whole thing. She's also a sub 2-minute half miler. She's run 1:59. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's kind of some, I don't know. That's fucking amazing. Like, there isn't any range left to cover, right? You've covered everything. Prior to 800 meters, all you got left is a 400, like, nobody, you know, like, she's like a 54 second, she can run a 54 second quarter mile. So that's fucking, I've never broke two minutes and a half mile, you know? I mean, I was straight distance, you know? I mean, Alberto Salazar probably never broke 2 minutes and a half mile, right? Maybe. He probably did. Maybe. I don't know. Galen Rupp, he's like a 1:49 800 meter runner, but he's And he's a 205 marathoner. I mean, that's pretty fucking impressive, though, too. But still, shout out to her, boy. That's 250, like, a 215 female. Like, that is equivalent. It's like a guy running 202, 203. Like our boy, Iliad. I was calling him Ulid, but I think it's Iliad. Iliad Kipchoge, the guy that broke the world record in the marathon last weekend. This motherfucker, his half, he went through the half, I guess, in 59:51. So he was on pace to break 2 hours for the marathon. The Berlin Marathon, it must be a fast, flat course. That's fucking insane. Because the world record on the road for the half marathon forever and ever, back in the 80s into the 90s, for the whole time I was running, was it was held by a guy named Mark Kerp from Missouri. I think he was from Missouri. And which is, I mean, that's impressive, but this motherfucker had a whole other half to go, you know? Iliad Kipchoge. But his splits, I was looking at his splits. They broke down every split, every 5K split, rather. So he went through the first 5K in 14:14. Fucking insane, okay? Second, 14:08. What? So the first 10,000 meters that he ran of his world record was 28:22. Like, that in itself is a... That'd win most 10K road races, except for maybe one or two. And most collegiate 10,000 meter track races. But this guy still had 30 plus kilometers to go. So he just kept knocking them out. 14:10, 14:12, 14:24. Finally started kind of look like, you know, after 30K, he's at 14:32, 14:30. I mean, these are 5K splits, right? So his 3 mile times are, you know, his first 5K at 14:14 is really about a 13:40 3 miles, okay? Which is what? Like, what would that be? Like, it's about a 4:30 per mile pace. Overall, he averaged about 4:37. Fucking stupid. God, it's just... I mean, it's just... It's hard to wrap your brain around. But, so I was kind of relaying all this information to my producer as we were out on the trail there. and I told her, I said, you know, I'm kind of like... considering signing up for the Western States 100 miler, like a 100 miler. But you have to, well, first of all, you got to have a qualifier first. You've got to have a some kind of sanctioned race that posts legitimate documented results of, I think you've got to at least, and this is really just me, theory. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but you'd have to at least do a 50 miler, complete a 50 miler or a comparable, like a 100 miler or a 24 hour race or something that is documented that will show the race promoters and officials that, you know, you'll be able to finish this particular race, you know, without, you know, self-destructing and crumbling into a heap, right? But as I'm watching these videos, it's like they're not muffin tops. They're not, but they're more hiking. They're hiker slash runners. Okay. That's what it really is. They're hiking slash running. So I went to work, you know, I started crunching the numbers. This morning I started re-crunching the numbers. I said, so every mile, okay. So if you do 60 minutes per mile, so I'm out there, I'm actually, every now and then I'll kind of pace myself. Like, oh, they have half mile markers on the trail. And I'm usually coasting through right at 8 minutes, right at 8 minutes. But it's a walk, you know, it's a walk. It's just a walk. And 8 minutes, eight, you know, and change, 808, 806, consistently. So I have to believe I can do 16 minute miles, even if I just walk, right? So at that pace, at 16 minutes per mile, that is 26 hours and 40 minutes you're out there, okay? So the Western States 100 miler. And the whole time I'm telling my producer, I'm telling her, like, you know, and you know, how I used to mock this race, which I still, I mean, it's because I'm coming from a track running background. I'm coming from a cross country, like a, you know, NCAA collegiate running background, where it's like, you know, hard, pretty heavy, not a lot of ultra marathoning. I mean, none whatsoever, really. So I'm just thinking, like, if you got, you know, I gave her the old, my same old spiel is like, if you got to stop and take a nap, it's not a race. If you got to stop and throw up for 20 minutes, that's still, it's just a long, bad hike is what that is, right? But I'm breaking it down. 26 hours, 40 minutes. That's a long fucking time. So they leave Squaw Valley, or up near Squaw Valley in Tahoe at like 5 a.m. And then the finish is in Auburn. And there's a pretty substantial elevation drop, obviously, because you're, you know, Squaw Valley, you're at 6,500, maybe almost 7,000 feet. By the time you get to Auburn, Auburn's probably about almost a thousand feet. I don't think it's 1,000 though. At Placer High School where they finish, it's close to 1,000 feet. So a net overall drop of at least 5,500 feet. But you're climbing a lot of it. You're climbing a lot at the beginning. You drop a lot, and then you climb a lot, and you drop more, and then you climb a little, then you drop some more, and the net drop is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,500 to 6,000 feet of elevation, okay? So it's not going to be like a flat course like the Berlin Marathon, which, by the way, like, isn't that the biggest, like, the ultimate twist or irony? Though it's not really ironic. Note to Alanis Morissette, none of your song was ironic, by the way. That Ilya Kipchoge coming down the streets of Berlin to smash his own world record in the marathon, while like 85 years earlier, a certain Austrian-born dictator that hijacked the political system in Germany professed to the inferiority of all but the white race. Isn't that kind of a funny little paradox, how it all ended up? And this fucking guy is just skull fucking Berlin, you know? He just owns that. He owns that city, you know? Because I think when he broke his own world record, the world record he broke was on that same course. I could be wrong. I'm not going to double check it right now. But I thought that was a nice little twist, but. So I'm out, you know, we're just kind of, I'm kind of secretly confessing to my producer that it would be interesting. I would like to sign up. It's not quite as easy as that, but because you have to do the qualifier for one, and then you get in, this whole ultramarathoning thing is really like, gaining in a lot of popularity, which I have to believe is probably the connection to the hiking, because the hiking, you know, it's an easy transition, I would think, to kind of get swept up into the routine of hiking, and then by proximity, you know, like, The social scientist John Levy, who wrote the book The 2 AM Principle, which is based on this, he's like a social scientist. Like, he kind of studies like behavioral human behavior. And he said that if you have an obese friend, there's a 60% chance that you will be obese. Because what happens is, like, you go to a meal, you go out to eat with them or something like that. And the habits that they use to have put themselves in the position of obesity are going to be on display during your meal. I mean, it's just is what it is. But that in itself gives you kind of license to do the same, because there aren't, you're not there with, like, you know, Gandhi on a hunger strike. You're with an obese person. So you're not going to mimic them. You're not going to be held back. You won't feel restricted like you would, say, somebody that's on a fast or just doesn't stuff their face, right? So your own personal inhibitions might relax. And the percentage says that law of averages says that, you're kind of given the option, the green light to eat just as your obese friend does. And some people probably act on that, and then they in tune become obese. My point is, if you're out hiking and you bump into people, talk to people, start learning more about hiking, or you go to REI, you talk about shoes, you talk about people, they all of a sudden are like, obviously they're into outdoor fitness, and they start telling you about, oh, there's a 5K that's going on. Maybe you're, I don't know if you're interested. So you get kind of not roped in, but you're like, oh, interesting. Well, I've had such an interesting time, doing this hiking thing. It really, really gets my endorphins going. I feel really good when I do it. You know what? Maybe I'll try a fun run, a 5K, some bullshit. So that's what I'm kind of getting at, is like, you by proximity, you'll end up, you start thinking about stuff like that. You start considering, well, shit, I'm already like preordained here. Like, I'm ready to fucking go. Like, I'm, I went a long time where I just didn't want to, I thought there was more to life than running, and there is, but it's just been, last couple of years, I just kind of built this kind of head of steam. It's kind of snowballed into what it is I do now. And so that very process is what's kind of led me to considering, like, looking at entering a 100-mile run, right? And there's so many, they're everywhere now. There's like a Colorado 200, there's the Moab 240. People are running 240 miles. Like, that didn't, but see, it's a mix of hiking and running. There's some guys that looks like they're going to try and run a lot of it. I would be surprised if there was a candidate or a winner or somebody that has actually maintained a running, ran the whole entire 100-miler or 240 or 200 or whatever. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your body. So there's you sprinkle in, you mix it up, you slow it down, you hike a little bit of it. There's some parts you've got to negotiate. I mean, some of it you're running through snow, like snowpack and stuff. So anyway. So it's easy to kind of consider. And so you've got to, to register, you don't just sign up to give you a bib number, and say, good luck. You got the qualifier, then you got to get in a lottery, because there's like at least 1,000 other people, if not more, trying to get in. And they only open up, I think they're opening up like 400 slots, usually 350 to 400. And they just had the Western States back in June. I would have to do some kind of sanctioned race in the meantime. So what do? Do I go on the World Wide Web, the interweb, And I start looking. And I start looking for races. And I see, oh, shit, there's a half marathon. But I'm not going to run. I'm not so, like, deluded and think I can just hop back into where I... what I used to do. I mean, back in the day, half marathon, pff, that was nothing. I did that shit in my sleep. 20 miler, yeah, you do that on Sundays. You go out, you run out in the, you know, it's part of training. But now it's like, dude, what do you do? You're a hiker. Like, you know, calm your jets, dude. Like, take it down a notch. You're up here, I need you about here, right? And so, I've got to rein it in a little, but it's infectious. Like, I'm trying to talk my lady into it. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to support you." I'm like, "Oh, you're going to, hopefully you do a little, you know, come on out with me, you know, it's an event." I forgot, you know, cause back, you know, when I was in high school or college, you know, it was the eye of the tiger, man. You were there to fuck some people up. Now it's like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to get some swag. I'm going to get a lanyard, you know? He's asking my producer, like, what do you call that thing you wear around your neck? Yeah, lanyard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get a free lanyard or a bag, you know, a little drawstring bag. You can put your knickknacks in or some bullshit, some tiger balm, some free fucking gel pack of some electrolyte formula that, you know, hasn't been approved by the FDA yet or something. I don't know. but now it takes on almost a social aspect, right? Is exactly what I'd seen, you know, accidentally stumbled across Sunday when they were all finishing. And these poor little chubbies that were bringing up the rear. Good for them, you know, but... but I'm going to smoke them. I'll fuck them up. But that's probably, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to run. I'm not even, you know, I don't have the body for it anymore. Like in high school, I was like 6 feet, 5'11", 6 feet, 140, 135, 135, 140. College, about 140, 6 feet, 140. Well, that was 55 pounds ago. Now I'm carrying around 55 pounds. Now I'm carrying on a rucksack. Of that weighs 55 extra pounds all the time, every day, morning, noon, and night. So 55 pounds is a lot, man. Like when I was riding my thumb across the UK, my pack didn't weigh that much, and that hurt. I mean, that was a bitch lugging that bullshit with a tent and a sleeping bag and a... Did I even have... Yeah, I think I must have had a sleeping bag, I think. I don't remember. Fuck. A couple changes of clothes, backup set of, I think I had a backup pair of shoes maybe, but what, that didn't weigh 55 pounds. So here I am, I'm 195, and that's extra weight. I'm not going to force myself through a fun run through, but I'll hike one, you know, I'll hike, I don't know, maybe I will run one. I don't know. I'm going to go to the track. Maybe I got to go to the track and do some time trials. I'm going to run a mile. I'm going to see if I can break six. Maybe I can break 6 minutes in the mile. Who knows? Maybe, you know, a 90-second quarter mile will do me the fuck in and it'll set me straight. I don't know. But that's a 6 minute mile. You go 90 seconds four times, baby. And that's a 6 minute mile, right? If I did the calculations on that, right? But the way I look at it now, oh, so Western States, so they, you get, well, they keep the course open for, I was looking at the course record. The course record's 14 hours, 9 minutes, and that's pretty good. What does that break down to? Like, it's not that fast. It's like, that's like a 9 minute mile. It's like a high 8 minutes, low 9 minute per mile. But it's for 100 miles. 100 miles. So, yeah, it's a bitch. But what they do is, so you leave 5 a.m. Squaw Valley. And so that, if if you're even, okay, even close to the course record, it doesn't put you into Placer High School in Auburn until, that would be, why can't I do the math on that? It'd be like 7 p.m., 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. if you broke the course record. But typically you're not breaking the course record, so you're like 5 a.m. to like 8 p.m., 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., 5 a.m. to midnight. Well, they keep the course open for like 30 hours. And then after that, they shut you down. So. Oh, and then you get a little, like a medal or something for like under 24 hours, right? So 24 hours is, man, those race officials, they must hate the, they gotta hate the finish part. Because 24 hours, you're there, okay. Most people are coming in at 18 hours, 19, 20, 21, 22 hours. So all through the night, right? So you're just like, fuck. So 26, so if I maintain just what I hike, that pace for 16-minute miles, 26 hours, 40 minutes. So that put me at, actually, that'd be quite nice because it'd be like 7, almost 8 in the morning. You're perfect. But then, most of the night you just, because you're in constant motion. You don't stop, nor would you want to. You shouldn't. I mean, the only time these guys are ever going to stop is if they're going to throw up or sleep, right? But if I wanted to break the 24-hour mark, I calculated that out in my head, too. So for every mile of the 100 miles, you've got to come through each half-mile mark you got to dip under 33 seconds per every half-mile. For every half-mile. So 200 times, you've got to be better than 8 minutes by 33 seconds. So you got to come through at 7:27 for every half mile. So that at 100 miles, you're right at 24 hours. Still, you're fucking it's very rare that I've been up for 24 hours for anything. I have, but it wasn't fun. And I certainly wasn't running. That's a fucking, because when I go out on my long hikes, like when I'm able to get away for like a 3 hour, you know, we're talking 10, 11 miles. I'm feeling that. So now times that by 10, literally. Like, fuck, bro. Not pretty. But something else that I kind of stumbled upon. Something else that I kind of been latching on to lately. Starting to grow to a little fever pitch, a little healthy, a little fervor of excitement is, and it all kind of intertwines, it interworks, it relies on part of the trail running, hiking thing. You guessed it. Mushroom identification. I was telling my producer, I'm like, wouldn't it be badass if they had an app that could identify mushrooms? And as luck would have it, and I'm so stupid, of course they already have one. They've got several. So I downloaded that bitch. It's called, what's it called? It's like Mushroom ID or something. Where is it? Picture mushroom. So you're literally taking a picture of a mushroom. It's going to tell you if it's going to kill you or not, or what it does, what it is. Because mushrooms are so fascinating. So fascinating. It's so, they're like from another planet. Like all their little, all their little underground little networks of, you know, what do you call them? Like, you know, like, they're like little roots. They're like weird little tiny root systems that all intertwine and connect up with each other underneath the ground. Like, it's just amazing. And they all communicate. They do weird shit, you know. And they, some of them have, like, you know, or some of them can make you see God. Some will kill you. Some will just ruin your immune system. Whatever. Like, but I'm kind of getting into, like, a foraging thing, okay? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you're turning into a real weirdo. No, I'm not. It's okay. It's just what, you know, people used to do, right? They used to forage. And now, more than ever, now that we're on the brink of nuclear war with Russia, you know? I mean, can you believe this shit? I mean, we got fucking... This isn't good. But if somehow, you know, we get to a state of post-apocalyptic survival and, you know, and I got to be Mad Max, I'm going to learn how to forage. You know, and that's not the whole reason. Like, I think it's just really cool. Like, mushrooms are very, they're very healthy, you know? And, but it would be good to learn something like when you're out on a trail for 26 hours and 40 minutes. Like, if you need to fucking find some food, man. Like, I remember, shit, I went on a bike ride back when I was in college with a bunch of dudes, a bunch of my buddies. We went up in the trails mountain biking. And one of my buddies, Mike Aronson, he'd gone on a run or something before we took off for the bike or a race or something. And then we went, and then we biked. And it was a bike. I mean, it was a fucking hellacious bike. We're talking, you know, 20, 30, I don't know, two dozen miles. I don't know, 20 something miles up into the forest, you know, plateaued out, went through some trails and then down the backside of the mountain. And, he did what they in the sports world they call bonk. He bonked the fuck out of himself. He just that's when you got nothing left. You're depleted, man. Like, he was spun out. He couldn't see straight. He was weaving on his bike. My buddy's trying to feed him like pine cones and shit. No go. So that's why it's good to be on you know, on top of your game. You know, do a little, learn how to forage. It's not, it's kind of, it's funky. It's off the beaten path. But at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, I compare it to like doomsday preppers. It's like the same thing going on with the doomsday preppers, only to a different scale. It's like, instead of, you know, holing up in your apartment with a fucking 357 and a couple of jars of apricots, waiting for the apocalypse or the fucking bio warfare or the next pandemic, you can be out in the woods just fucking, I want to pluck a couple of oyster mushrooms here, a little blue oyster mushroom, a little, you know, some chanterelles, a little, you know, the good stuff, some shiitakes, fucking, who doesn't love a good fucking, you know, a nice sauteed mushroom and some olive oil, fucking just maybe brown it a little, oh, fuck yes. So I found a place in, just up the highway in, Newcastle that there's a little farm up there. I'm gonna learn. They've got little grow kits and stuff like that. So I'm serious to get it. This is like something I'm really, okay. It sounds off grid, kind of weird, wacko, kind of, you know, militia type stuff, but I guarantee you there ain't no militia guys up there looking for mushrooms. Okay. I guarantee you that they're just up there polishing their fucking pistols and butt fucking their, cousin, you know? I'm just kidding, kind of, but no, it's fascinating. It's all synergistic, right? So the running to the hiking to the trail running to the foraging, I mean, it's very John Muirish. It's very I don't know, it's where I'm gonna be. It's what I'm, it's kind of a path that I've I don't know, it's is, you know, much of it, as it sounds like a pun, it's very organic. It's become an organic, seamlessly organic transition. And why the hell not? It's fun. It's weird. And that's me. So, what else we got going on? I think that's the... There was something else I was going to... Blah, 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 blah. I can't remember now. I'm sure it was really cool, though. But that's the... anyway, that's the gist of things. Yeah, it's just kind of, as we go into fall and the weather gets a little, the climate gets a little more damp, it's going to be more conducive to growing stuff. It's just knowledge, man. It's just more knowledge. You can scroll away. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So the latest with my lady then is, of course, she's getting back into church, which I think is phenomenal. I think it's great. I mean, I'm not that guy, but I don't begrudge anybody that if, you know, you need a certain set of fundamental laws that to orchestrate and help you get through the day, then do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. And, but she called me today and said that, you know, that the furry convention might be in jeopardy. not for religious reasons, but financially, it might set her back to where it would be too uncomfortable to make it to take care of the other obligations that she has. So fuck it, let's go down to Catalina. Let's go do that Trans Catalina Trail. All that fucking jockeying for talking and yapping and going in circles and, you know, should I go here? Should I go there? Well, I'll probably end up going down south. And if I do that, and if for some reason she doesn't go with me, oh, shit, it's on. It's gone. It's on and gone. I'm on and gone. I'm either going to end up down in Julian, somewhere near Julian, maybe the North County, San Diego. Look up my buddy Mike, go out to Anza Borrego, do some hiking, or I'm gonna attack that motherfucking Trans Catalina. I'll drag my 20-year-old along with me, if she wants to go. I mean, but it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good. You know, I'll just be working my way through the trails up there, running past the buffalo. I can do it in a day. I think, what did I say, that the FKT, the fastest known time is like 6 hours or something, which is ridiculous. I know I can do it in 12. I think that's what I, because it's 38 and a half miles. So just say, call it 40 miles. So at 16-minute miles. That'd be 160 minutes for every 10 miles. So that's 640 minutes for 40 miles. So that's that's just short of 11 hours. So it gives you a little breathing room. Yeah. So, by all intents and purposes, I can definitely do it in 12 hours. So you'd have to, like I was saying, I think I mentioned this last time in a previous podcast, it would be nice to have, if you're going to start from Avalon, at the beginning of the trail there, which is typically where it begins, what's it called? Is it the what the hell? Hermit Gulch? Hermit something? I think it's Hermit Gulch Trail or something like that is the beginning. And you shoot straight up to the top where the airport is and then come down into the isthmus there to Two Harbors and just have a tent waiting for you at Two Harbors. So you could probably ferry in from not Long Beach, but I think it's San Pedro is where the other ferry junction is, that I think, and that's the only one that does take you to Two Harbors. So you ferry to Two Harbors, set up your tent. Then at that point, you got to commandeer something to get you around to Avalon, the other side of the island, and then you just go. Then you just fucking go. So if you left, if you're able to get, you'd have to, okay, so you'd have to, once you set up the tent, you'd have to leave it there. You'd probably want to, by the time you get to Avalon, that's the trick, is getting to Avalon. Maybe you could talk somebody into boating you over. Or there's got to be boat ferries, taxis, I mean taxis rather. Or somebody, just fucking just stow away. Then you could stay the night. You could stay the night in Avalon. You could camp at the Hermit Gulch Trail. You'd be up and going by 7 a.m. Put you back in Two Harbors by 7 p.m. with your tent waiting for you. Crash the night there. Wake up the next morning and ferry back to San Pedro. Bob's your uncle. How do you like it? How do you like me now? and just fucking just foraging and picking weird little fucking herbs and fennel and funky mushrooms. I'll take pictures with my little picture mushroom app to see if it's going to kill me or if I'm tripping balls by the time I get to Two Harbors. Sounds legit. Sounds like fun. But that's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's up, people. But that's the, anyway, that's what's up. That's the show. That's what's, coming together. I hope everyone else is doing well. Hope you're all doing well. And we're going into fall. I think they just made the Parliament building into a Spirit Halloween store as we speak. So, you know, that's a bad sign, but fall's around the corner. So there you go. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.